Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Cholamandalam Investment and Finance Company Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Kotak Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mahesh from Kotak Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hey, thank you, Renju, and good morning to all who have joined into the call today. We welcome you all to the earnings conference call of Cholamandalam Investment and Finance Company Limited. Your usual moderator, Nischint, has had to step out today, and I shall handle today's session. To discuss the first quarter's performance of Chola and share industry and business updates, we have the senior management represented with us today. We have Mr. Vellayan Subbiah, the Chairman and Non-Executive Director, Mr. Ravindra Kundu, who is the Executive Director, Mr. Arul Selvan, the President and CFO. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Vellayan for his opening comments, after which we shall take the Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Mahesh, and good morning, everybody. So just quickly jumping into quarter results. Disbursements for the quarter were at 13,329 crores, which is up obviously by 267% just because of the base effect from the last year. Total AUM is at 86,703 crores, up by 14%. NIM, net income margin, is up at 1,640 crores, which is up 19% year-on-year. And the PAT is at 566 crores, which is up 73% year-on-year. Overall, consumer confidence continued to improve with the Indian economy growing at 14%-15% in spite of higher-than-expected inflation and tightening of monetary policy. And Chola delivered its best-ever first-quarter disbursals, collections, and profitability, with domestic auto sales zooming by 55% in the current quarter, albeit on a low base, and sustained growth momentum in residential unit sales as well. Like we said, kind of disbursements are at 13,329 crores, and Q1 FY22 was impacted by COVID, which is why it was lower than that quarter. But getting into the individual businesses, vehicle finance disbursements were at 8,562 crores, as against 2,846 crores, which is a growth of 201%. Loan against property, including affordable, LAP, disbursed 2,169 crores, as against 386 crores, which is a growth of 462%. The home loan business basically disbursed 478 crores, as against 199, which is a growth of 140%. SME disbursed 1,030 crores, as against 204. And our new businesses, which are consumer and small enterprise and secured business and personal loans, registered disbursements of 1,055 and 36 crores respectively in Q1 FY23. AUM stood at 86,703 crores, as compared to 75,763 crores. And PAT, like I mentioned, was at 566 compared to 327. The PBT ROA was at 3.7%, as against 2.5% in the same period last year. And ROE was at 18.9%, as against 13.5%. The company continues to hold a strong liquidity position with 5,113 crores as cash balance as of the end of June 2022, including 1,500 crores and 200 crores invested in G-Sec and T-bills, which are shown under investments, and a total liquidity position of 11,324 crores, which include undrawn sanction lines. The ALM is comfortable with no negative cumulative mismatches across all time buckets. Consolidated PAT for the quarter was at 562, as against 329, which is a growth of 71%. In terms of asset quality, at the end of June 2022, Stage 3 assets stood at 4.16%, with a provision coverage of 40.69%, as against a comparable 4.37% at the end of March 2022. with a provision coverage of 39.67%. Total provisions currently carried against the overall book is 2.92%, as against the normal provision levels of 1.75% carried prior to the COVID-19 pandemic. Management overlay is now at 528 crores in terms of provisions carried on the books. As for the revised RBI norms, the November 12th circular of last year, the GNPA and NNPA percentages stood at the end of June 2022 stood at 6.31 and 4.35% respectively. We carry 736 crores higher provisions under Ind AS over IRAC. As per prevailing IRAC norms, the GNPA will be similar to the stage 3 numbers given above. The details of state-wise assets are available as part of the overall release. The capital adequacy ratio for the company was at 19.15 as against the regulatory requirement of 15, and Tier 1 capital was at 16.3 as against the norm of 10%. So, Mahesh, I'll stop with that. We'll be happy to take questions from our side.
Sure, sir. We can open the floor for questions now.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Shripal Doshi from Aquarius. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, sir. Good morning, and thank you for giving me the opportunity, and congratulations on good set of numbers. So, firstly, I wanted to understand, what is the outstanding restructured book loan?
Outstanding restructured book loan?
Yeah. The outstanding book stands at around 3,500 crores, a restructured book, which was at around 5,800 crores earlier. When we did initially, it is around 3,400 crores now.
So, you are not audible, I'm sorry.
The outstanding book is at 3,400 crores now, as against the 5,800 crores when we initially did the numbers.
Right. Got it. And sir, just the second question on the same line. So, what would be the write-off that we would have taken from the restructured pool during this quarter?
The restructured book, as shown, no stress is different from the normal pool. It is progressing in the same way. As you know that we have discussed this earlier also, the moratorium given in the restructured books are very small, ranging predominantly to 1 month to 3 months at most. So all these assets have started being tracked as part of our normal book itself, and so the stage 3 numbers which are already there corresponds with whatever is in the restructured book also.
Okay. I think we've guided for less than 4% net NPA number for the year end. So keeping that in mind, what would be the credit cost that we will be building for the year?
The credit cost, which is currently we are seeing at around 1.2%, will be the levels. As I have told even in today's morning call, we will range anywhere between 1 to 1.5% over the cycle, and we should be at the pre-pandemic levels now.
Okay, got it. So thank you so much, and good luck for the next quarter.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my questions. My first question is to Ravi, sir. If I kind of look at the texture of the vehicle finance disbursement, so basically I'm looking at the different sub-segments. So pre-owned vehicles, exchange, and construction equipment are the three segments where we have seen a sequential decline. Again, I understand there is a seasonality expected. Not really fair to compare Q4 to Q1. But having said that, I just wanted to understand that these three product segments, used vehicles, SUVs, and construction equipment, are they seeing, I mean, a lot of aggression from banks and some of the other listed NBFCs? And how should we kind of read this? That's my first question to you, sir. And second question is, I mean, how is the demand in tractors right now? There are a few other your peer NBFCs who have suggested that the demand in tractors is very, very strong. While, I mean, when we talk to some of the auto guys, they don't kind of suggest the same thing. So if you can just kind of give some color on the tractor demand.
Heavy commercial vehicle and construction equipment, the strategic customer or group customer or top of the pyramid customer or large fleet operator customers are always being funded by banks only. We were always financing the retail customer, and that's the reason if you see that heavy commercial vehicle and construction equipment, our market share has been small as compared to the light commercial vehicle and used. So when the strategic customer or large fleet operator purchases the vehicle, it is being funded by the banks only, and at this juncture, the majority of the sale which is happening is because of the replacement demand coming out from the strategic customer or large fleet operator. So the banks are operating. But after some time, when the freight availability and capacity utilization of the retail customer improves, then the retail customer also will come, which will further drive the growth, because initial drive of the commercial vehicle or construction equipment growth comes from the large fleet operator, followed by the retail customer, and that point in time we also get into that. Having said that, we also see that our market share has gone up in heavy commercial vehicle and construction equipment, because our customer segment also parts of the country started actually participating in purchase. That is from HCV and construction equipment. In the case of used vehicle, the used vehicle business is actually growing much faster, because even the strategy customer or large fleet operator who are actually buying the vehicle are not adding the fleet but replacing the fleet. So they are continuously selling their existing vehicle, and it is going to be retail customer and retail customers are buying. And that's the reason retail customers are not buying the new vehicle. So till such time you will see that, used business is going to grow, and we are expecting that this year used business will continue to grow. Now coming to the tractor monsoon has been good, and as overall average, it is higher than the 100%. But Bengal, Jharkhand, Bihar and Uttar Pradesh are not having that kind of monsoon. It is slightly deficit, so we need to wait for that, because these are the larger market for the tractor. Once that monsoon is actually completed by say August, September end, we will be in position to say that how much demand strongness is there. However, as of now, last quarter we saw 16% growth, and is driven by Madhya Pradesh, Rajasthan and some of the market where monsoon has been very good. We are hoping that the rest of the four states where tractor sales have been good in the past, or they are actually producing more kharif, will have a better monsoon, and that will further grow, will drive the tractor growth in this month, in this financial year.
Thanks, sir. This is good. This is useful. Sir, my last question is for Arun, sir. Sir, I mean, if I kind of look at the runoff that we have seen in the loan book, you had suggested kind of last quarter that it will remain elevated for the next two quarters, which is predominantly H1 of this fiscal year, and then it should revert back to the normalized levels. So how should we kind of, and we've already seen that normalize or kind of come down in this quarter. So how should we kind of think about it? I mean, that's how, I mean, it will progress, that it will remain slightly elevated for the second quarter and then start normalizing in the second half of this fiscal year. And so secondly, I mean, kind of if I look at the write-offs, what was the quantum of write-offs, and the recalculate write-offs? It looks like it was slightly elevated, nothing alarming, slightly elevated compared to, let's say, the pre-COVID levels. So how should we kind of think about it? Those are the two questions.
Yeah, the runoff will be there for one quarter for vehicle finance, and it will be actually not even visible in the LAP later, because they are the write-offs has been higher both in Q4, but in Q1 it has not been there for vehicle finance other than the repo sale related. So those are normal quarter on quarter levels. The 1.2% on the credit cost, we are conservatively saying that the levels will be maintained over the quarters, because you will see that in Q2 continuing, but Q3, Q4 should be better.
Got it. Got it. And so lastly, your tier 1 is 16% now, and the kind of growth that you are seeing now, while you always have that room of raising tier 2 capital, I mean, any thoughts of a primary equity raise over the next 12 to 18 months?
No, we have very clearly articulated that unless the tier 1 goes down below 13%, we will not be seeking capital. I think we stick to that stand.
Great, sir. Thank you so much, and wish you and your team the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Next question is from the line of Bharat Shah from Ask Investment Manager Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Given the kind of new lines of the business that we are attempting to build up, and given our traditional strength areas, what kind of a cycle, sustainable ROA, pre-tax ROA, we see it as a range, or which is part of our business model?
Yeah, I think we should be there in the 3.5 to 4% levels. We commit to that and we stay committed there. But there is scope to improve. But right now we do not want to take conservatively any call on that.
3.5 to 4% range.
Up to, I'm talking pre-tax ROTA, yes.
Yeah, pre-tax. I'm talking. And what kind of, given the kind of potential growth that we see in our lines of activity plus the new lines, what kind of leveraging compared to our network we think will be a point for capital raise? I mean, typically what will be sustainable level of leveraging we'll prefer to keep before we go into a new capital raise?
We are currently in the 6x debt equity levels. We will continue to be around the 6 to 7x levels, because that would be the number. Actually, we could the 13% or the sub 13% levels will take us to 8x, but we don't intend to go there. So we can comfortably be in the 6 to 7x band. That's the way we are wanting to look at. More importantly, the new businesses churn more because they are shorter tenure, so I don't see the debt equity will be significantly impacted because of scaling up the new businesses.
So 1 rupee net worth and about 6 rupee borrowing, so 7 rupee of total capital.
Up to 7. Right now, now it is around 5.9x.
Yeah, so yeah. If I go up to 7, which means 8 rupees, sir.
Okay. So potentially up to 8 rupees of total capital, and 3.5 to 4% range of ROA pre-tax, which means about close to 2.7 to 3% post-tax return. And therefore, about sustainable ROE of about 20%.
Yeah, that is correct, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siraj from Laban Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. My question was around the GNPA and the GST numbers which were reported. So when the new norms coming from 1st of October, our GNPA will be the GST numbers, right? Essentially, the reporting right now is only for to report the numbers. They won't be applicable, will they?
We have given you both the numbers. You know, the stage 3 numbers right now which is shown will be the pre or the current prevailing levels of net NPA and the gross NPA as per IRAC norms. The new norms, if it comes through and where we put through the numbers, we will be at a net NPA of 4.43%, and at the overall level, we will be at 6.31% on the gross NPA as we closed June. The details are available in page 26 of the investor presentation. Kindly run through it.
So just to clarify,
this is
my question. What actually reported the new under new norms, the NPA will be 6.3%. But as on 1st of October, when the new norms actually kick in, so the effect will start coming in post that, right? So the GST should be your gross NPA numbers as on that date. I mean, so if they were to come in from today, your GNP as on date will be...
So this is a debatable point. We are... So the gross NPA as per RBI is different from the stage 3 numbers, which is as per Ind AS. That is why we are giving it as stage 2B and stage 1B if you see. Those two, if you add, they are really under Ind AS to stage 2 level of asset because they are less than 90 days. 90 days and above is shown as stage 3. Less than 90 days and you know more than 30 days is shown as stage 2 and less than 30 days is shown as stage 1. So those assets which have touched NPA and are in these brackets will be shown in the stage 2B and stage 1B respectively. And they will be, if you add all three, you will get the net NPA as per RBI. We intend to present it as such unless the regulator, you know, wants us to group everything under stage 3.
Oh, thank you. That was
the
question.
Thank you. Next question is on the line of Rikin Ketan Shah from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions. First one was on the asset yields in the vehicle finance business. If I look at the presentation, it seems to have come off by 50 basis points sequentially. So any trend or color there or one-offs included there? That's first one. Second one, the employee headcount is up sharply, right? So in last 1 year, we would have added around 8,000. But I understand that that could be a mix of on and off payroll. So any split between that? And did I just, a clarificatory question relating to the restructure, did I hear correctly that the book is currently around 3,400 crores now? And one last question is for Kundu, sir. On the vehicle finance business side, while I understand the disbursements are strong, but the outlook seems to be a bit more cautious pertaining to lower credit availabilities, uneven rainfall, etc. So are we expecting slowdown in the disbursements in the quarters ahead? That's all.
So I will just start from the vehicle finance. In the vehicle finance, the industry shown 115% growth from the commercial vehicle and passenger vehicle did 41% growth. And so did the other product like two-wheeler 54% and three-wheeler 224%, tractor 16% and construction equipment 16.1%. So if the industry is growing in this pace for this financial year, we might touch the previous peak in terms of commercial vehicle and passenger vehicle and maybe in two-wheeler. So subject to that, we will definitely grow at the rate of 35%. If industry is growing at the rate of 35%, we have an opportunity to grow slightly higher than that because there will be a value growth in terms of inflation and cost of the vehicle, and also a little bit market share growth will be there. So this is what is the industry, and now we have given you the sector outlook where we have given product by product, you know, what is expected in terms of good and bad. In terms of tractor, suppose I'm just giving you the example, you can go through the total outlook of Chola given in the presentation. So overall, monsoon has been very good. Actually, it is higher than the 100% last year. But there are four states which is actually selling more tractor is now going through the deficit of monsoon. So unless that gets corrected in next 2 to 3 months time, we cannot say that for full year tractor sales will be very good. Secondly, if the crude oil prices are at this level and it doesn't go up and it goes down, then obviously the growth of the commercial vehicle projected will be achieved. It might go up further. Similarly, you know, the consumption increases, rural demand actually improved because of the better monsoon, better agriculture growth. Then again, it will further improve the sale of two-wheeler, three-wheeler, you know, even cars and MUV in the rural market. However, you know, as of now, whatever industry is showing up, we can safely say that the industry is going to grow in this year in terms of number, 35% over last year, and we will be doing better than that. But we need to also keep those thing in the mind that which can actually, you know, create problem for us. That's the reason we are given the mixed type of, you know, outlook. That is from the vehicle finance side. And again, can you repeat?
You asked 4%.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I know so much.
Actually, Magesh, comment of 2 questions. You are trying to beat it by cramping 4 questions into one attempt. I think that loses the whole, you know, purpose of this, Magesh, advice on questions.
One is the straightforward answer. 3524 is the right number.
Yeah, 3, 5, 2, 4. Okay, that was. What is
the last one? So, one was on the employee headcount addition. So, just wanted to get a flavor on the increase between the off payroll and on payroll, and what could be the salary differential between them.
The salary differentials and all we cannot get into now. Okay, the headcount details we are given in the investor presentation.
But that is mainly because.
Yeah, that's because of new business.
New business.
And housing finance is also expanding out of South, so they are also recruiting people. Yeah.
Got it. And on the anything on asset yield, sir? In the vehicle book, it came off by 50 basis points.
It will go up now, slowly. Marginal book yield, no? Marginal book is started growing. No,
got it.
Overall,
okay.
There is a lag of 6 months. So marginal book, we started doing this. And there is a difference in the mix, like, you know, at this juncture when all the new vehicles are getting sold more and more because that is the industry sales. We have to participate in that as well. So overall yield is depending on, one is the mix and second is the overall yield is also depending on the time when we take it to increase it.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Subramaniam Iyer from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I have 2 questions. The first one is, what is your observation on loss given default vis-a-vis the 40% stage 3 coverage you have, considering that most vehicle financiers seem to be taking accelerated write-offs and there might be a large pool of repossessed vehicles for disposal in the market? That's my first question. The second one is, how much room do you have in your ALM in terms of moving the mix to CP to limit the rise in your portfolio cost of funds in the near term? And at a product level, how much margin compression do you expect through the cycle, or can you pass on the entire cost of funds increase to customers?
The loss given default in the case of repo vehicles is in the range of around 32%. The incurred loss in the case of sale of vehicles is around 32%. So our provision coverage is significantly higher and gives us enough headroom to cover any volatility there. The second thing is on the CP headroom. CP headroom, we can go up to 15% of the borrowing book. We are right now at around 4%.
7%, yeah.
Sorry, 4% was last quarter, yeah, 7%. So we have another 78% that we can go, but we may not go all the way up, but we'll be in the range of around 10 to 12%.
And at a product level, do you think you can hold the, your margins by passing on entirely to the customers?
Yeah. What is LAP and housing finance is a floating rate which we are doing it.
Yeah. That's what. So basically, like, you know, vehicle is a fixed book, but then the other two books is where we basically pass.
Sure. Through the cycle, would you be able to pass?
Vehicle finance product level marginal rate only will go up. As and when we do business, that will go up. But in the vehicle finance, main important role plays by the product mix. So how much we do the high yield business versus low yield business is important for arriving at a overall yield. And we are changing the product mix towards the IL book continuously. So that will help us to increase the yield in next 6 to 9 month time, because there is a lag between marginal book yield and the overall book yield. Housing finance and affordable housing and LAP is instantaneous, where we increase the rate as and when the prices of the market, cost of fund goes up.
Thank you and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is on the line of Nidesh Jain from Investec. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for the opportunity. On the new businesses, what sort of, specifically in consumer and SME, in consumer, what percentage of origination that we are able to do through our own branches, our own origination engine? And in SME, how much of disbursement are we able to do outside of the Murugappa Group?
Consumer business or SME business, all we are doing it from the branches only. And with respect to the Murugappa Group versus open market group, only supply chain finance, 50% of supply chain finance is actually, related to Murugappa Group. Rest are open market. In SME, we have three products: supply chain finance, term loan, and equipment finance. So supply chain finance is almost 30% of the overall book, and out of 30%, 50% goes out of Murugappa. That's the number.
In consumer consumer loans, 100% of origination through our own branches now. Is that correct?
All
CSEL.
Existing infrastructure of vehicle finance, wherein 126 branches we have opened up. Those from 127 branches, from there they are almost covering 500 towns of the vehicle finance. So you can say that 50% of the branches of vehicle finance being now covered by CSEL from 127 hubs. And they have three models. One is the DSA model, GST model, and then the partnership model. All three models, they are utilizing it to acquire the business.
Yeah, if you can say that what percentage of business coming from partnership model, that would be helpful.
Partnership is one third of the deals are coming from partnership.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from us. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ketav Shah from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. Sir, if you can explain what are the number of new customers that have got originated in the new model and under the new business?
So almost 100,000
vehicles. Okay.
In the first 1.6 lakhs customers.
From one business.
From one business. And yeah, so basically, let's just say kind of less than about 2 lakhs across all the businesses.
And these are the
new
customers. Non-vehicle or non-lakh customers.
The customers that we don't have any other loan with.
Okay. Versus what would that run rate be, say, last year? Just an offhand number.
This quarter had about 1.8 lakhs from vehicle finance and 1.8 lakhs or about 2 lakhs from all the other businesses.
Okay, lovely. Thank you. So second question was related to your partnership arrangements. So the customer ownership is with the partner or with Chola? Just trying to understand the model here.
Chola.
Okay. I think those were the two questions. Right. Thank you so much. And all the best.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is on the line of Shweta Dattardar from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is for Kundu, sir. Good morning, sir. So as far as the vehicle finance disbursement mix is concerned, why has been used vehicle financing loans quarter on quarter declined. I mean, is it the Q1 phenomenon or categorically we have chosen to sort of take a cautious step? If it's the latter, then why so? And my second question is on the LAP front. So what is the normalized loan loss provision we are looking at, because that's been quite erratic for a while, and therefore that's also weighing on the overall, not only the overall profitability, but what is then the ideal PBTR we are looking at? Yeah, thanks.
Shweta, what was the first question? What is the mix you are talking about used?
Why has been the decline in used vehicle financing disbursements quarter on quarter as against the industry queues, which have been pretty buoyant?
You see that our product mix in terms of portfolio, page number, we've given it in the page number 40. Where the
41.
40 is the portfolio. Right hand side is the product portfolio, and left hand side is the disbursement.
Right.
Used vehicle, the product portfolio in terms of our asset under management is 27%. As against that, we have done 29%. So our disbursement is higher than the mix of the current mix. So disbursements are higher than that. If you see, the tractor is 10% in terms of our portfolio, but in terms of disbursement is 8%. So that way you can say that tractor, we are a little cautious as against the portfolio mix in terms of disbursement. But in terms of used business, we are higher than the portfolio in terms of disbursement. That shows that we are quite aggressive in terms of used.
Okay, so maybe Q4 was always has been a stronger one. So maybe that base was pretty high.
Yeah, you are right. In the Q4 to Q1, you can say that there has been drop in used business, but that is because of the mix in this first quarter. You see that new vehicle sales have picked up significantly, and this has been a first time in April, May, June, it has been such a best quarter for the new vehicle sales. So when you participate in new vehicle sale, your overall disbursement mix is actually gets skewed towards the new one. That is the difference, nothing else. Otherwise, if you see our portfolio versus our disbursements are higher than the portfolio.
Sure. And just one question there related. Are we number two in terms of market share on the used side? Am I getting it right? Yeah, perfect. So my next question is on LAP front.
Yeah, loan against property. What was the question?
It was on what is a normalized loan loss provision?
See, last 2 years, if you look at it in the investor presentation, it's showing about 0.7 or 1.2 considering the COVID situation. But at a normalized situation, it could be about 0.4 to 0.5 at a portfolio level.
So you have any targets in mind for PBT ROTA for LAP?
ROTA?
We're expecting Suresh to deliver at least 3.5%.
So 3.5 is the expected ROTA. Currently, for the current quarter, we are at 4.7.
That is because of the reversals.
On a steady state, we are expecting at a 3.5% ROTA.
3.5 to 4%.
Perfect, sir. Thank you so much, and best luck for future endeavors.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Param Subramanian from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to ask firstly on the restructured book. So you've classified, I think it's largely in stage 2, and I think it's largely repaying, based on the commentary that you've provided. So how long will we continue classifying this in stage 2? And do we plan to, classify this back to stage 1 and reverse the 11% sort of provision cover that you have here? That's question one. Question two is again on the vehicle finance yield decline quarter on quarter. Could you, explain again what was the reason for the vehicle finance yield decline? I didn't get the part on the marginal book. Are you saying the marginal book yield is lower than the existing book yield? So I just wanted to understand that. And thirdly, I also wanted to understand on the credit cost, what was the reason for the spike in the quarter? And if you could quantify the write-offs in the quarter. Yeah, those are my questions.
We started moving those restructured books which have repaid more than 30% of the original POS. So during the quarter, we have moved around 50 crores of the restructured book to stage 1 because we completed repaying more than 30% of the POS outstanding on the date of restructure. We will do that every quarter as they repay the repay more than 30% levels, which is what is given by RBI as a guidance. The rest of the book is shown in stage 2, and some had moved into stage 3, so this is the performing. And of course, a lot of also around 1,500 odd crores have got repaid or settled out. The spike in credit cost this time is also because for the first time we have also started providing on the macro factors. So far during the COVID period, while we started measuring the macro impact had been negative. That is, it was resulting in a reversal of provision, though we did not take reversals and kept them, we did not provide anything additional. This quarter, what has happened is because the interest cost hikes and then there are uncertainties, the macro model threw up a provisioning requirement of around 450 crores, which we have provided additionally as part of the ECL, and that's the reason you see the spike happening.
As far as the book yield is concerned of vehicle finance, before it was 13.99 and Q1 it is 13.91. It is almost same level. Before that, in Q3, it was 14.26. So from from Q4 onwards, we started seeing that the new vehicle sales has picked up. So when new vehicle sales picks up, which actually reduces slightly price. Otherwise, it is almost same level. It is not gone down.
Kundu sir, if I could just interject, sir, so the income yield you provided in vehicle finance in the slide, so it is down 50 basis point QOQ. So that's the number I'm looking at. So the income yield that you provided in the slide on vehicle finance.
That's the slide you're saying, referring to?
So 15.4 have gone to 14.9 on vehicle finance income yield.
That is quarter on quarter versus this is not Q4 versus Q1. You are talking, I think, the comparison between Q1 versus Q1. The mix was completely different, and that was a very small book at that time.
That was the COVID book, right?
That was influenced by the large quantum of COVID tractors in the book at that point in time. So it will keep changing based on the mix of the book. Of course, there have also been some small reductions in the yield, but now we will be pushing up the marginal yield as we see the interest rates hike coming up. In a downturn, when interest rates are dropping, you will see that progressively the book will show the impact over the next few quarters of the drop because the book has to change its yield.
Okay, got it. So just one last part on the macro provisioning. Is this something that will recur quarter on quarter, or is this you're looking at more as a one-off for this quarter? That was my last question. Thank you and all the best.
No, the macro, there is a model we have built factoring in, the various macro measures like your GDP and, consumption and industrial growth, etc. And the influence on each of the portfolios that they have. Basis that, the model throws up and it takes into consideration the impact of the change over another one quarter or two quarter or three quarter down the road. And that's how the model throws out what is the macro provision required for each of the sub-segments. And that's how we measure it. And when it comes that it can, there will be reversals, we don't consider reversals, but when it throws out that there is a requirement, we provide for it. So we continue using this model as we go by because it's an integral part of the Ind AS model of provisioning.
I think if you take from that, it's not the intent to provide every quarter, but it depends on what the actual kind of variables indicate for the future outlook.
Got it, sir. Thank you, team. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Jignesh Shial from InCred Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. So congrats on good set of numbers. Just one data point. Sorry, I missed out, joined a little late, but are you giving slippage recovery and write-off number for the quarter and for the last quarter? Either total or the business wise, whatever is available.
We couldn't hear your question clearly.
No. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I get the slippage recovery and write-off number for the quarter on and for the last quarter if it is available or you are giving it?
Okay, yeah, we can tell you now. Normally we don't give it. If it is around 148 crores this quarter, and last quarter is around 200 crores.
This is net, right?
Right?
Net.
This is net slippage you're saying, or this is...
Hello?
Yeah, this is slippage number you're saying, right?
Right off.
Right off, okay.
There are slippage, right? See, there are only two components. One is write off, the other one is the provision accretion or, you know, reduction. See, that moves with the model and the NPA number.
Understood.
NPA move up, provision is more, NPA moves down, provision. But that's more a notional number. Write off is the crystallized loss trap.
Understood. And second question had been, you acquired PaySwift last year. So how that particular business is, you know, how is accommodative to us and how we are basically using it up? If you can give some color on it, that this fintech part, how it is helping us out or what we are doing with this business, if you can give some color on it, if possible, that would be really useful. Thanks for this.
I think broadly it's still early days for PaySwift. The intent, and you know, that still continues to be our focus, is that they deal with a particular profile of SME customer, and you know, they have a fairly large distribution capability into those customers using both a combination of a direct sales model and a partnership model. In some of the partnerships, you know, we do have access to that customer base, and some we don't. And the intent is to basically, once we get some history with those customers, to start a lending book on top of that. So like we said, this will take a little more time because we need to first develop the capability to have enough data on those customers that we can start a lending book. And once we have that, then, you know, the intent is to basically see how a combination of a payments product and a lending product can be driven to expand up our penetration in the SME segment.
Understood. If I can squeeze in just one more thing. So these customers will be more catered to your new business line, right? Rather than vehicle and housing and LAP. This is more towards the new business line that you will be getting to this customer. Is that understanding correct?
Absolutely. That is correct. And that's what we've articulated as well, that the intent is to really focus on how we expand both the consumer and SME ecosystems, which is why you can see the partnership model that we have talked about for both our consumer and small enterprise loans business. And in some cases, a structure like this is what we're going to focus on to improve our penetration in those segments.
So considering the kind of growth we are seeing in the new business, gradually the overall portion would be tilting towards new business as well. So the mix would gradually will be changing over the next 2 or 3 years. This would be a fair assumption to make, right? So right now the dominance which is there in vehicle will gradually be more granular in nature for Chola as a whole.
Well, I don't think the mix shift will be so different in 2 to 3 years, but the intent is to move it over a period of time. So we'd like to take a longer term horizon on that.
Understood. Thanks for this, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 2 per participants. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Next question is from the line of Bunty Chawla from IDBA. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Firstly, on the, if you can share your thought process on the AUM growth guidance for this year.
Pick up a bit. Last year.
Is it audible, sir?
Just speak a bit louder.
Yeah. Can you throw the guidance on the AUM growth part? Because last year there was a pressure on the prepayment, repayment. This year should be the normalization for that year, and disbursement growth are picking up. So if you can share your thought process on that. Secondly, sorry for the repetition. I missed the write-off number. If you can repeat that number for me.
If industry, like we mentioned that in vehicle finance, if industry delivered 35% growth over the last year, obviously vehicle finance will grow much better than that. And in that case, we will get opportunity to grow more than 20% because 70% growth, 70% book is vehicle finance. In any case, LAP and housing finance, they are growing over 20% as of now. So only thing is that the moment vehicle finance starts growing at the rate of 20%, it will actually improve the overall growth. We have done well in the Q1 if you have seen that as compared to the last quarter. So I am expecting that the industry will support this year and will come out of the higher rundown obviously in the second quarter. So both put together we are likely to grow, you know, safely 20%.
And like we said, there's one more quarter of runoff to be had. So only in the second half will you start seeing significant movement.
And sir, write-off number if you can repeat for me.
Just
148 crores, 200 crores Q4, and 48
is in Q1.
Oh, thank you very much, sir. And all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Alpesh from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Just two questions. So what's the average duration of this new portfolio that we are adding into our balance sheet? That's first. Secondly, in the home loan business, I see the new purchases portfolio being stable between 1,300-1,400 crores in last few quarters. So, and the self-construction is increasing. So any specific reason on that? And lastly, the one more question is...
we couldn't understand your home loan question. I'm sorry, I don't know if it's a volume problem at our end, but you might have to just speak up a bit for the home loan question.
Okay, sure. So the home loan portfolio mix, when I see the share of the self-construction is over the last 7-8 quarters is increasing, whereas the new purchases share is coming down. And in the absolute value, that number remains between 1,300-1,400 crores for the last few quarters. So any specific shift in the business focus there? And lastly, I just wanted to check now with all this moratorium, etc. being over, can we see the repayment and the prepayment rates across businesses being pre-COVID levels in rest of FY23 now?
Housing, affordable housing self-construction has been the focus area, and we have further actually improved that. And in housing, affordable housing, we were mainly working in the south zone and we started in rest of the country. In rest of the country, mix was slightly lower, which we have now changed it towards self-construction. That is what is the affordable housing. Small enterprises.
And sir, what would be the average ticket size for that self-construction portfolio for us?
15 lakhs.
15 lakhs.
14 lakhs.
1-4.
Okay, great. Okay.
In consumer and small enterprises, we mentioned that there are three verticals. There are three channels. One is partnership channel and DSA, DST and G2C channel. In the and partnership, we are doing 33%. Whatever we do in the partnership mainly is a consumer loan or personal loan, which is a short-term and a small ticket size, which is hardly 3 to 6 months, 10 hours. But in the case of balance 60%, which is a traditional loan, which goes up to 5 years. So we have both the product in the consumer side. So 33% is a small ticket, small tenant, balance 66% is a normal ticket size and up to 3 years is average.
Okay, and the last question related to that prepayment, repayment rate, are we firmly back to the pre-COVID levels and the, during the COVID, whatever the disruptions related to the changes into the payment schedule, are those been addressed now completely?
Yes, that's, you know, the collection has been back in the, we have been doing 114% of the billing collection and is going on very well. That's the reason if you've seen that our stage 2, stage 3 is coming down. We further improve actually in that. In first, and the quarter 1 and quarter 2 are always the lean election. Election picks up from after the festival. In spite of that, this year we have done collection in June quarter and expecting that, you know, September quarter also will be good. Next collection will happen in December and you know, March quarter.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mahesh. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. Just two questions from my side. One is we see some pretty healthy new vehicle sales of commercial vehicles in the market, and yet at a system, at an industry level, we still see overdue still not reached pre-COVID. If you could just kind of tell us some qualitative answers as to what could explain this, that lenders are taking some time out to clear out the inventory of overdue loans in the market.
Talking about the new vehicle sales picked up, but the overdues of the customer who has not come down, that's what you're saying?
Yeah, it is obvious.
Who have actually missed out during the COVID period, gone into 6 or 9 bucket. They are continuously paying 1 or 2 EMI, but it's like it will take at least 6 to 9 more months to come back to the normal level. However, the new requirement from the market, mainly driven by the large fleet operator from the heavy commercial vehicle and construction equipment point of view, has gone up, and that's the reason they are driving the number. But this particular drive of growth will cannot be sustained unless the retail customers start coming up. So we are expecting that the retail customer who have who only purchased the used vehicle will start coming back to the market after the second half, maybe after the festival, subject to the monsoon has been good and agriculture growth is there, supported by GDP growth. So the current number is driven by the large fleet operators in commercial vehicle, and subsequently it will be driven by the retail customer.
Perfect, sir. And one last question from my side. There is a reasonably stark difference between the way market is seeing the macro backdrop for next year. Yet lenders are reasonably optimistic of the situation on the ground. How would you reconcile the two when you are building your business for this year, and how can the portfolio be protected for next year in case there is a slowdown out there? Thanks, and that will be all.
Yeah, I think it's very difficult to actually say what is going to happen, right? In terms of, I think too many people are trying to predict, and we don't know how to predict. So we are basically not trying to formulate this view. And, so that's why even Ravi said, hey, listen, if the market grows at X, this is what we will end up growing at, which will be slightly more than the market. But what's actually going to happen, I don't think anybody can say at this stage, okay? It looks like basically kind of, everybody who looks too much at the West has got kind of this view that recession is coming around. But it also looks like, it won't be as pronounced in India as it is kind of globally. And that might be causing some of the bullishness. But that's not how we are driving internal behavior. It's kind of actually driven by what we are seeing on the ground, and that's what's kind of driving most of what's happening for us.
Thanks, sir. Thank you. Ranju, you can close the call from now.
Thank you. Due to time constraints, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, nothing specific from our side. Thanks a lot for joining, and we look forward to seeing you next quarter.
Yeah, thanks
a lot.
On behalf of Kotak Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.